today. Speak, God. Speak, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord.
Into this place.
Hallelujah.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord.
That should be our desire.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Hey, hallelujah. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord.
In your Bible, turn to the book of St. John. Chapter number 1. This chapter is very familiar. We just want to say welcome and good morning to those who are viewing by live stream. We're thankful to the Lord that you chose to tune in to us on this morning. We hope that your experience here will be uplifting, edifying, and that God will speak to your heart through his word. We are in a theme for the first 2 months of the year. Our theme is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So we're continuing with our theme. So St. John, chapter number 1. I'd like to begin today around verse number 11. Verse number 11. He's talking about the Word. He's talking about God. And in the upper verses, he goes to say that the Word was God and the Word was with God. So John, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, is informing his readers and listeners that God, again, is one. That has been the principal theme of the whole Bible, that God is one. Amen. Many manifestations of the one God, the true and living God. So John is continuing here, and he is declaring even the works of God and what God has done through God's story or through history. And verse number 11, I have the Amplified Version. This is what it says. He came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his domain, creation, things, world. And they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name, who owe their birth neither to bloods nor to the will of the flesh, that of physical impulse, nor to the will of man, that of a natural father, but to God. They are born of God. John is declaring that God came, and he came in the person of Jesus Christ, and he came to his own things, his own creation, his own world, and they did not receive him. We as mankind as a whole, we didn't receive God because Scripture lets us know in other places that we were the enemies of God. And we know how we feel about our enemies. We don't receive or welcome our enemies at all. And we were the enemies of God. Now, that's a baffling thought about the human nature. God made us, and we who were made and created became the enemies to our Creator. But it shows the grace and the mercy of God, how he can come to somebody that hates him, somebody that didn't want anything to do, and he can still come and reveal himself to mankind. And I want to deal with a little thought here momentarily. He talks about he came unto his own and they did not receive him. That's a key word, receive, because we find through scripture in one place, I believe it's around the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, and Paul met some disciples and he asked them a very pertinent question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? See, there's a lot of people who hear about Jesus, but a lot of people don't receive Jesus. A lot of people who know about Jesus, but they don't receive Jesus. People read up on Jesus. In fact, some people can tell you some of the things that Jesus himself said, but they have not received him. Because I like what the Amplified said, it unpacks it a bit, what he talks about to receive. When you receive Jesus, this is what you do. You adhere to Jesus. You believe in Jesus. So that means you believe in him and you adhere to him. Adhere means you will do what Jesus told you to do or what he tells you to do. You will trust in Jesus. You will not trust in your own mind. You will not trust in your own opinion. You will not trust in natural philosophy, but you will trust in Jesus. And in fact, you will rely on Jesus. Sometimes we have different things and different persons and even institutions that we rely on, but if you really want to receive Jesus, you're going to have to rely on him and rely on his name. The scripture lets us know again that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And what do you mean by being saved? I'm talking about being born of the water and of the Spirit. So the only way for you to be saved is for you to truly receive Jesus. You got to truly receive Jesus. And that verse number 13 said, who owe their birth neither to blood. So it's not about you naturally being born in the Jones or the Smith or the Jackson family, but you got to be born from above. No wonder Jesus told that religious man and religious scholar, Jesus told Nicodemus, who was actually, I believe, history records that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. So it matters not what your religious position is, but even this man who was a member of the Sanhedrin, Jesus told him, you must be born again. So all you religious people, with your degrees and whatever, I'm not knocking degrees because I got one, thank God, but you must be born again. And then this man who was a member of the Sanhedrin had the nerve enough to ask Jesus a question, how can a man be born again when he's old? And Jesus went straight to his education. Are you a ruler of the Pharisees and you don't know this? So listen, don't chalk up your education against the salvation of Jesus Christ. And all your, I hear the Bible say, and all you're getting, get an understanding. And the first thing you need to understand is that you must be born again. Get your PhD, get your MD, get your MA, MBA, I don't get alphabet soup, but whatever you get, you must be born again. That's what Jesus said. He wasn't putting the man down. He was actually trying to lift the man up. So I'm not pushing down education, but whatever you get, you need to get Jesus Christ. You need to receive Jesus Christ. So Jesus, so John is speaking. He says, who owe their birth neither to bloods nor to the will of the flesh, that of physical impulse, nor to the will of man, that of a natural father, but of God. See, you got to be born of God. I hear the Bible say flesh and blood can't even inherit the kingdom of God. So this is why you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. This is what we're talking about this month. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We ain't talking about the human spirit too much. I told y'all last week that God was looking for a dead church because there's too much of the human spirit that's running rampant in some churches. But you got to be born of the Holy Spirit. Move with me for a minute to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. It is very, very crucial that you have the genuine Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit sometimes will lead you and guide you into and direct you into some places that you really don't want to go on your own. I hear the Bible say, as we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, chapter number one, I'm sorry, I hear the Bible saying that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead you in a wilderness place, and you're going to be tempted, and you're going to be tried. But the best thing about it is to don't go into the wilderness by yourself. Make sure that it's the Holy Spirit that's leading you into the wilderness. If you must go through a wilderness experience, all you need in that wilderness experience is the assurance that you have the genuine Spirit of God. Because if you have the genuine Spirit of God, then you will be able to go through whatever wilderness, whatever temptation, whatever trial and test, and you are able to come through victoriously. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, Paul is writing to the saints, to the saved folks, to the church, if you will, at Corinth. Now, we know Corinth was a pretty bad place. Corinth had a reputation for being like a wild and crazy place, kind of like what city? All right, fill in the blanks. All right, here we go. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 20, this is what Paul is saying. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, in Christ. See, God has some great promises, and all the promises of God are really fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, God promised the Holy Ghost. He promised the Holy Spirit, and God keeps his promises. So Paul is saying that the promises, they all find their yes answer in him, in Christ. He says, for this reason, we also utter amen. So be it. So when you say amen, you're saying so be it. You're agreeing. So now, just in case you didn't know when you say amen, you're saying so be it, or it is true. It's just like you said. Paul said, for this reason, we also utter amen. So be it to God through him, in his person, and by his agency to the glory of God. So he's talking about Jesus Christ. Now here's what he says in verse 21, but it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ. So it's all about God, right? And has consecrated and anointed us. So we didn't, listen, we didn't call, we didn't, Paul is basically saying we ain't call ourselves. I believe if God didn't call Paul, Paul would have not been an apostle. Just let me say, no one in their right mind, catch that, no one in their right mind calls themselves to be a pastor. I'll say that again. Nobody in their right mind calls themselves to be a pastor. Oh, Lord. Then he says, but it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and has consecrated and anointed us, enduing us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. See, it's a Holy Spirit-directed process. An individual, all of us have to be directed and called and consecrated and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say in verse 22, he has also appropriated and acknowledged us by his putting his seal. I've been sealed, so have you, upon us, and giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts as the security deposit. God got a security deposit down on everybody that got the Holy Ghost. God got a security deposit. God put something down on us. God sealed us with the precious Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He says his seal upon us by giving us his Holy Spirit in our hearts at the security deposit and guarantee. God said, I guarantee you something. Guarantee of the fulfillment of his promise. What promise are you talking about? All right, here's one promise. The Bible says that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if it dwell in you, it shall also quicken. That means make alive your mortal body. So that's a promise that we can hold on to. That's a guarantee that one day God himself. I hear the Bible say the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the Bible says in Thessalonians, I believe, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us who are alive and remain. What us are you talking about? I'm talking about those of us who have the seal. Those of us who have the seal of the promise. Those of us who have the deposit of the Holy Ghost. Those of us who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those of us who have repented of our sins and been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. Those of us who've been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. We're walking around with a tamper-proof seal. We're walking around with the seal that cannot be counterfeited. We're walking around with the seal that's not a bootleg seal. You can't get this seal in a back room somewhere, but this seal is 100 proof. This seal came down from heaven. This seal God placed on us at one at a time when we got the Holy Ghost. The dispenser of the seal, the distributor of the seal, is none other than God himself. So those of us who are walking around and remain, when God cracks the sky, he gonna crack the seal. Oh, when you crack a seal, then the aroma comes out. When God cracks the sky, he gonna crack the seal, and all of us are gonna be caught up. That's what your Bible said. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you ain't got no seal, wait a minute, I'm educated. If you don't have the seal, then you are not qualified. You are not qualified. You're not set aside to take this trip. There will be no stowaways. Ain't nobody going to bump. This flight to heaven will not be oversold. You can't get no coupons on this flight. You got to get a seal. And that seal is the gift of the Holy Ghost. I got the seal. Oh Lord. Oh, y'all know that I used to black market. Yeah. Well, then everybody know now. I used to black market, and we can get some counterfeit stuff. There will be no black marketeers in heaven. Hallelujah. You better get the genuine seal. Don't you trust yourself. Oh God, here I go in this brain. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust nobody whispering in your ear. Telling you to say what you hear. God can talk for himself. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, I feel like preaching, the day of Pentecost, they were all in one place, in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They weren't talking in nobody's ear. They weren't saying, that's it. You ain't had to tell them nothing. The Bible said they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. God don't need no babysitter. When God get ready to talk, he'll talk out of you. Lord, help me. You got to have the seal. You need the seal of the Holy Ghost. The real seal. Because again, the Holy Ghost will lead you. Jesus said in 14, St. John, he'll lead you and to guide you into all truth. And some truth is painful for us to experience. Why in the world did you say that? That's why we need the Holy Ghost. We need to surrender to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will lead us, influence us, prompt us, guide us, help us to do some things we would not do with our natural mind. All right, I got to get some scripture to nail this point down. We're still in 2 Corinthians. Let's get to the second chapter. We're going to see something that might make us repel for a minute in our natural mind. But walk with me, if you will. 2 Corinthians, Paul is still speaking under the direction of the Holy Ghost. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, look at this here. When I looked at this, I said, oh, Lord, he's trying to show us something here. Just take a pause for a minute. God, I believe, has divinely given us our church unity prayer. And this is a certain portion of our church unity prayer that's on the back of our bulletins that tells us, or we profess, because we give this out in the community sometimes, that we'll be ready and willing to accept all. So God's going to call us on a few things. Who are you really willing to accept? But if you have the genuine, real Holy Ghost, then this might not be so much of a problem. Let's look here and see what Paul was encouraging the saints, the church, to do at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 5. Here's what Paul is saying in the Amplified. But if someone, the one among you who committed incest, ooh, y'all see that? Ooh, yeah, he's talking to the church now. There was somebody in the church who committed incest. Oh, God, run him out of town on a rail, put him under the jail, beat him silly. That's what the natural mind says. But look what the word of God said. But if someone, the one among you, do y'all see that? Who committed incest has caused all this grief and pain. He has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, he has distressed all of you. I told you when one of us sinned, we affect everybody. But look what the Holy Ghost, the real Holy Ghost, will lead you to do. Verse number 6, for such a one, this censure by the majority which he has received is sufficient punishment. So the majority of the church censured him. And Paul said, all right, that's enough. Ooh, you called him on it. You exposed him. Not only did you expose him, but primarily you exposed the devil. But then, here's what he says in verse 7. So instead of further rebuke, look at that. You should rather turn and graciously forgive and comfort and encourage him. Y'all see that? You mean this man who committed incest? That's why I said you need the real Holy Ghost. Because there's going to be some people who committed some horrendous things. And they might be known and unknown, or they might come in with a different type of a spirit. And God may give us a discerning of what their lifestyle used to be or what their lifestyle is. But your Bible said that you got to forgive. You got to graciously. Let me get that again. He said, you should rather turn and graciously forgive and comfort and encourage him to keep him from being overwhelmed by excessive sorrow and despair. Ooh, it takes the Holy Ghost to do that. Oh, Lord. Because let's just be real with this. No one wants to sit next to a rapist. Ooh, no, oh, God, no one wants to sit in the same company as a pedophile. No one wants to sit and commune and eat and fellowship and even dare praise the Lord with a murderer or a homosexual or any other type of sin. But let me declare to you that sin is sin, and all of us were born in sin. That's why it takes the Holy Ghost to do this type of activity, because if we look at it with our natural mind, would nobody be in the church? nobody. I hear the Bible said, such were some of you. Oh God, some of you were pedophiles. Some of you were homosexuals. Some of you committed incest. Yes, you did. But God, in his grace, God, in his mercy, God looked past all of our sins. God came down himself, went to the cross of Calvary and died for every one of our sins. Sent back after he got up on the third day, according to the scriptures, showed himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. Ascended on back up into heaven, sent back the precious Holy Ghost. And we have a song that the angels can't sing. Redeemed. I started to get me a t-shirt and I wanted, I had it in my mind and maybe I'll do it one day and I want to put in big letters, Jesus saves. And then I want to put every ungodly thing. I want to put Jesus saves pedophiles. Jesus saves whoremongers. Jesus saves liars. Fornicators and adulterers. Jesus saves homosexuals. Jesus saves gangbangers. Jesus saves wife beaters. And then I want to put on the back, and such were some of you. Oh God, because that's what we were. We were all born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But God was gracious to us. He turned to us and he came himself, went to the cross of Calvary, made it possible for us to have redemption and receive salvation. And dare we turn our nose up at anybody. But I tell you what, unless we have the Holy Ghost, we will not be willing to and ready to welcome all. We'll welcome some. We want to put them through our litmus test. Well, what did he do? What did she do? It matters not what they did. Ooh, what do you mean? I mean exactly what I said. It don't matter what they did. If they repented and got baptized in Jesus' name and God saw fit to fill them with the same seal that he sealed us with, who are we to tell them we don't want you in this church? If that's the case, we need to stop with the unity prayer. But I hear the Bible said, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus has rest for the whoremonger. Jesus has rest for the homosexual. Jesus has rest for the pedophile. Jesus has rest for the adulterer and the fornicator. Jesus has rest for the drugged out person out of their mind. And he wants to seal them with the Holy Ghost. But who's going to turn graciously and invite them? Who's going to turn graciously and win them? No, don't send me to them. No. See, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'll go. I said, I'll go. I'll go back to Skid Row if I have to and tell the rest of my brothers and sisters that God can save you from Skid Row. God can take you out of the whorehouse and put you in his house. God can take you from the pool room and put you in the pulpit. God can take you from smoking weed to anointing folks with oil. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. But we got to be willing to surrender to the power of God. The Holy Ghost will lead us into some hard things. Remember, I told you at the beginning of the year, we got to ask ourselves some hard questions. What are we doing with the Holy Ghost that we have? More than a jump, more than a shout. Where is the compassion of God? Where is the love of God? God? Where's the encouragement? Where's the lifting up? Where in the world is that? I hear Jesus. Jesus. See, and I got to get back to the receive part because this is critical and crucial. In the book of John, you ain't got to turn. I got it in my mind around chapter number 20, around verse 21 or verse 22. Jesus was with the disciples. And the Bible said he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Spirit. I got a question for the theologians. I got a question for the seminary astute students. When Jesus breathed on them, did they receive the Holy Ghost or not? Yes, they did. I had a question and I got the answer. When he breathed on them, they received it. Listen, because the word of God is sure. The word will not return unto him void. If God had the nerve enough to say that we're going to give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth, I'm here to tell you there was not an idle word that came out of the mouth of Jesus, but it prospered. So when Jesus breathed on them disciples, they received the Holy Ghost. Yes, they did. But guess what? I believe on the day of Pentecost, it was activated what they had already received. What are you talking about? We're living, here's an illustration that might help you. We're living in an enlightened age. We're living in an intelligent age. And sometimes we go online and we download a program and we download, we pay our money and it processes our credit card, or we go to the whatever store and we buy the CD and we download it or we install it. But there's a time between the install and the activation. There's a warning. It says on some programs, unless you activate this, this will not work. There's a time. I believe that Jesus breathed on them. He downloaded the Holy Ghost in them, but the activation had to take place. When did the activation take place? The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, that's when the activation took place. The Holy Ghost that he breathed onto them. Wait a minute. Got something in my mind about breathing. When God, the same God who made Adam from the dust of the ground, God breathed into him and man became a living soul. So the breath of God is still powerful. So the breath of God in the flesh as Jesus Christ has the same power. But the activation came on the day of Pentecost. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to reach out to your faith. Those of you who know you've been breathed on by God. I'm not saying you haven't had an encounter with God. But what I am saying, you need the activation. You need the activation. What in the world is the activation? You got to put faith in what God has said. And if you have enough faith to activate your faith and believe what God has already promised, God himself, Microsoft has a software that goes in and checks your computer to see if you have a genuine Microsoft product. But God knows when he breathed on you, and all you got to do is activate your faith. And then God, how can I activate my faith? Repent. Believe the message of God. And when you repent and reach out to God,
by faith if Microsoft got enough sense to program their authentication software to see if you got the authentic software, then God himself has the power and the authority and the ability to authenticate your seal. So God knows those he already breathed on, but he breathed on you, and you might have felt a little something, and the hair stand up upon your neck, and you kind of got a little shaky. But God is saying, I want to do more than breathe on you. Listen, the Holy Ghost is nothing to be afraid of, but God is saying, I need you to activate what I've already sent back into the world. I downloaded it. You can get it for free. I already paid for it. All you got to do is believe the report. Step out on faith and ask God for the activation code. What is the activation code? Repent and believe the gospel. Then God will put that seal on you. He'll say, genuine, genuine. He'll down comes the Holy Ghost, and God will speak out of you in a language that was not your own. It takes faith to believe the promise of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you haven't had an experience with God. What I am saying is activate it.
All right, let me move. 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 All right. All right. Verse number 8. I therefore beg you to reinstate him, that sinner, that rank sinner. Paul said, I'm begging you, reinstate him in your affections. And assure him of your love for him. That takes the Holy Ghost to do that. Huh? Somebody who committed incest, reinstate him in the church. Now, if he can't get reinstated in the church, where can he get reinstated? Lord, have mercy. That make you scratch your head, don't it? You scratch on, but you better do it. Huh? That's the word of God. I ain't making this up. Let me get verse 8. Paul said, for this was my purpose. This is why I'm writing to you. This was my purpose. So y'all don't get it jacked up. How you going to be ready to welcome all if you can't reinstate your brother who fell in a detestable sin? You all see that? Some of y'all probably never saw that before, huh? He said, for this was my purpose in writing you, to test, your attitude. You think you're ready, huh? Oh, yeah, all right, okay. My Holy Ghost won't let me. Okay, what kind of Holy Ghost you got? You see that? For this was my purpose in writing you, to test your attitude, to see if you would stand the test. Ooh, who's going to stand the test? No. Send them down the street. No. God sent them to you. You're going to pass the test. What's your attitude? We need an attitude adjustment. The Holy Ghost will adjust your attitude if you let him. Lord God, help us. We need an attitude adjustment. Put us on the oscilloscope of heaven and plug in the leads and cause us to have an attitude adjustment. We need an attitude. Who will be honest and say, Lord, I need an attitude adjustment? Start with me. Yeah. Because I had to scratch my head. I looked, oh, Lord. Yeah. All right. Attitude adjustment. Whether you are obedient and altogether agreeable to following my orders and everything. No, I ain't doing that. I ain't going, but so far. Okay. That was a test. And you just failed. Let's turn to chapter 3. Lord. All right, I got to wrap this up. Oh, no, I got a little ways yet. I feel like I said a lot. I don't know. But here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're still here in Corinthians chapter 3. Paul just said, now look, I want you to understand something here.
not, I'm in verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are fit, qualified, and sufficient in ability of ourselves to form personal judgments or claim or count anything as coming from us. God, see, it ain't, Paul said, no, it ain't about that. It's not about that. But our power and ability and sufficiency are from God. See, that's key. Our power, our ability, our sufficiency is from God. In verse 6, he says, it is he, God, who has qualified us. God did it, making us to be fit and worthy and sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant of salvation through Christ. Not ministers of the letter of legally written code, but of the Spirit. Oh, God, for the code of the law kills, but the Holy Spirit makes alive. Paul said, look, the Holy Spirit will make you alive. I can't boast or brag on anything that, like, I got this ability on my own. You can't study enough for this ability. This ability comes from God himself. So all the glory goes to God. I understand what Paul understood. So now let's jump. Paul, here in this conversation, he's talking about Israel and how when they read the Old Testament, further back in that third chapter, he talks about how the law brought death. But the law, even though it brought death, it was glorious. It had some splendor and glory to it. And then he asks a question in one of the verses leading to where we're going to get back to. He says, well, if the ministration of death brought glory, what about the ministration of life? Huh? Shouldn't that be more splendid and more glorious? But then he talks about how when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, being in the presence of God, he had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't even look at the face of Moses because of the glory that he had been exposed to as he received the law of God. So let's get to verse number 15 of chapter 3, and he's talking about the law of Moses, right? Just wanted to kind of get you up there quickly to where we're going so we can move on a little quicker. Verse number 15 of chapter 3, he says, yes, down to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies upon their minds and hearts. Now when he talks about whenever Moses is read, he's talking about the law. Huh? I think I said on Tuesday, did I say on Tuesday about keeping the Ten Commandments? Yeah, no, no. No, you can't keep them. Mm-mm. No, you can't. You can't. They were designed. The law was designed to stop every mouth. That's what the Bible says in Romans. It was designed to stop every mouth, to hush every mouth, and make us all obedient to Christ. All right? So you don't go back and try to keep the Ten Commandments, because actually they weren't given to you anyway. They were given to the Jews. All right? That's Bible. All right? But the Bible says, but whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. That's why I said again, repentance is key. Now watch this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost, I told you God was one, didn't I? The Lord is the Spirit. The Lord is the Holy Ghost. The Lord is Jesus. Jesus is God. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him and in spirit and in truth, in reality. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you are not really a child of God. If you do not have the Spirit of God, you do not know. know God. You may know of God, but you don't know God if you don't have His Holy Spirit, if you don't have that seal. The Bible said, now the Lord, in verse 17 of chapter 3, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is emancipation from bondage and freedom. The Spirit of the Lord has come to break the bonds of wickedness. The Spirit of the Lord has come to break every one of your bad habits. The Spirit of the Lord has the power to break you up out of that ungodly relationship. The Spirit of the Lord has the power to loose you from the demons that try to keep you in bondage. The Spirit of the Lord has the power to deliver you and to break you from the shackles of alcohol, drugs, tobacco, sin of any kind, any shape, any package. It's the Spirit of the Lord. That's why you need to receive the Spirit of the Lord. That's why you can't please God without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is already here. The Holy Spirit is waiting on you. God, in fact, is that Spirit. Jesus, in fact, is that Spirit, and He's already here. He's wooing you even now with cords of love, because He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Once you repent and reach out to God in faith, then you activate what God has breathed on in the atmosphere. If you are here and you don't have the Spirit, then you don't belong to God. Don't let that frighten you. You may have come in here today, or you may be out there looking by way of the internet, and you don't have the Spirit of God yet. You ain't got to run nowhere. God sees you right where you are. All you have to do is repent and believe the word of God and reach out by faith. Just have enough courage and boldness to say, God, I want the Holy Ghost. That's what I did. They told me, they showed me in the scriptures, if we as men are evil and know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will God give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? They showed me that in Luke, and on a Wednesday night, June 1985, Mother Markham, Brother Collins, Sister Collins, and Elder Tyrone Fitzpatrick, they told me all I had to do was believe what I read and ask God for the Holy Ghost. I didn't know nothing about no scriptures. I couldn't tell you Mark from Ezekiel or Revelation from Genesis, but I believed what they told me. And I made, oh God, I'm getting happy about this. I made up my mind. I told God, I ain't leaving. I ain't had no chips. I ain't had no power to negotiate with God. But I told Him out of my heart, I'm from the streets. And I said, if I got to die trying to get the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to die right here. They're going to have to drag me up out of this classroom. But when they showed me in the Word that all I had to do was believe God and ask Him for the Holy Ghost, I said, wait a minute, is that all I got to do? Yeah, you mean I ain't got to get my, y'all know I'm from Skid Row, I ain't got to get a suit? No, you ain't got to get a suit. I ain't got to take no bath? No, you ain't got to take no bath. Just ask Him. I ain't got to get rid of my cigarettes. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost with a blunt in your hand, if you please. All I had to do was to ask Him for the Holy Ghost. And I asked Him for the Holy Ghost. And then they said, do you believe what you said? I said, yeah. Then they said, well, start thanking Him. Thanking Him in expectation. Thank Him for His promise. And I started thanking God for the Holy Ghost. Before I got it, I started praising Him for the Holy Ghost. Before I got it. And suddenly, God, suddenly, I don't know what happened, but I do know what happened. Suddenly, God came in, filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I began, wait a minute, I didn't begin, God began. to speak out of this alcoholic, out of this felon, out of this drug user, out of this whoremonger. God began to speak out of me. He said, I'm here now. Hallelujah. I spoke, wait, God spoke out of me. God spoke, bypass my brain because I speak a little Spanish. I speak a little Japanese. I speak a little Arabic. I speak a little Swahili. But God was speaking something different. Hallelujah. I was trying to figure out what language is this. But that was a language that came from heaven. And on Wednesday, June the 19th, 1985, at 3200 West Adams Boulevard, in the third classroom, down the stairs, with the clock on the wall, God, I said, God, who is that spirit, came in to this earthen vessel, filled me with the Holy Ghost. Woo! God, spirit. And when the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Free from drugs. Free from alcohol. Free from the whorehouse. Woo! Woo! Free! No more cocaine. No more crack. I was selling out. I was buying crack, and the rock was free. What rock? That rock is Jesus. Woo! The Lord is that spirit. The Lord is the spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is liberty. Somebody needs to get free today. Somebody needs to get free today. Ask God for the Holy Ghost. Ask Him. Ask Him for it. I dare you to ask Him for it. Ask in faith. Somebody wrote a song. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I got it. And I know I got it. And I got it like the Bible said. Ooh, Lord have mercy. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. And watch God. He breathed on them. And John 20. He filled them. And Acts 4. And around the 13th chapter of Acts, he filled them again. Ooh. So those who've been breathed on, but you're yet dry. Those who have already been breathed on. Those who have already experienced your day of Pentecost, but you're yet dry. Because the wilderness has gotten you dry. I'm so glad God has recorded that those same ones that he breathed on, those same ones that were in the upper room, those were the same ones that he filled them again. See, that spirit is a spirit of refreshing. I ain't saying you ain't got nothing, but you do. Oh, God, back to the computer. Sometimes your screen can get locked. Oh, God, help me preach this thing. Your screen can get locked, and you got to push the refresh button. Some of y'all screens is locked. You've been at that same place for far too long. God said you need to push the refresh button. Come on up here and plug in to the mainframe. What's the mainframe? The mainframe is heaven. God is going to send you an update packet. He's going to refresh you with the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to come running right now. I don't know why y'all sitting here. Come from the parking lot. Come from the booth. Come from the lobby. Come out the bathroom stall. Y'all need to come and get refreshed. Mm-hmm. Come on. You ain't spoken tongues and I don't know how long. Or God has not spoken out of you. But you need to come. The Lord is that spirit. The Lord is the spirit. Now, if you don't remember the last time that God spoke out of you, you need to get a refreshing. Come on. Come on, come on. If you don't remember, you can't recall. You got to scratch your head. When the last time God spoke out of me? You need a refreshing. Push the refresh button. I'm a part of Heaven's Geek Squad. Y'all know what the Geek Squad is. You got a problem, you bring your system. So I'm God's geek today. A part of the Geek Squad of Heaven. Huh? Come on, get your refreshing. I know what the problem is. You need to reboot and refresh. Come on, connect. Come on, connect. Come on. The enemy has downloaded a virus into your spirit. He's downloaded a virus into your spirit. And you need to get the virus protection of the Holy Ghost. Come on. Quit playing. Come on. Come on. Young, old, happy, mad, I don't care. Come, get refreshed. You may come mad, but you'll go away rejoicing. Come on. You need the refreshing of the Holy Ghost. Come on. God loves you too much to see you stay in that condition. Friends, if you're watching, right where you are, repent. Repent. Believe. Change your heart. Change your mind. Surrender your life to God. Repent. Repent. And find a place. If you can get here, get here. Come during the week. We'll baptize you in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. God has promised that he'll give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the crucial and pivotal point is repentance. That's the crucial and pivotal point. Repent. Let God breathe on you.